Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
My life is going to be changed because we're not going to just see people as rich and poor and old and young and nice and not so nice. We're going to see much more than that. It's going to burn into our souls. It's going to burn into our spirits. And there's a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, "How shall they call upon the one they've not believed in?" And it goes on and says, "Can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard?" And he continues his reasoning and says, "How can they hear without someone preaching or proclaiming the good news to them?" There we go. "And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Expect, my friend, there are opportunities coming. As sure as the Spirit of God was present this morning to stir up and to blow out the cobwebs, as sure as He's doing something new. We're not waiting for the 29th of September before revival comes. Revival is starting right now. But there are promises over our nation, over our churches, that in the last days, said the Lord, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." We need to be those who are gospel torch carriers, gospel torch bearers. We need to be looking, as we shared last Sunday, about every opportunity to share the gospel. Is it going to come up, Ash? At least the Holy Spirit is working in our midst this morning, even if technology lets us down a little bit. I want to just say that we saw last week a little bit about how to get a hearing, how to, first of all, hear what's going on behind the scenes when people speak. The H was for hear what people are really saying behind what they say. Every day you in circles of conversations, where people are speaking. You've got to learn to hear what's behind what's being said. The H for hearing. Secondly, we need to expect people to be responsive when we speak to them. Thirdly, we need to ask the right questions. People love speaking about themselves and asking the right questions out of what you've heard them say, or they're talking about something they're going through as a family, then asking the right questions. Sure, it involves risk to step out. And definitely a key is to include people, include all kinds of people, in especially similar interests and hobbies, and never be pushy with an unresponsive person, but be ready to change tack. And always remember that you're there to give them the best news that they can ever hear. Amen? So hearing is an important part of revitalizing our res. Remembering those things. Pascal, don't you want to just come quickly and just share with us that amazing testimony? Richie, can I just grab the mic over here for Pascal as he comes?
Morning, church. It's always a pleasure to share this good news that we are carrying inside of us. And there is a lot of opportunities that God is opening every single day, wherever we are walking, we are driving, or whatever we are doing, for an environment where people are facing the issue of security and safety. It's sometimes a challenge to preach the gospel. but we don't let all those situations to stop us. One of my experience is living in Kloof, and every time I'm driving to come to Pentown, you'll see people walking, and I'll stop my car and I'll open doors of my car and say, do you want a lift? And you'll see people running and coming to get the lift. But you can still realize that there is a fear inside of them because they don't know who's driving the car and wherever they are going. That's a big concern. And yourself, even as a driver, you're still questioning, who are these people that I have in my car? Then you find that there is that fear coming inside from them. They will start creating stories, talking to you, just maybe to try to distract your mind, to say, if this man is a criminal, at least he will listen to my story. You'll forget about killing me. But that doesn't move me. That doesn't change me. I'll listen to the story, and I'll just wait for the right opportunity. And I'll speak. I'll say, can I pray for you? Just that. Can I pray for you? And say, yeah, you can pray for me. Because he's in your car, so you are the master. And before I start praying, I'll speak about the goodness of my life. And I'll tell him, listen, it's not just about prayer. It's about knowing who you are. Mm. And I'll speak to the person. Maybe he wanted to take a taxi at Spa Kloof, but he's coming to Pentown. I say, no, we are going to Pentown. And I'll pray for the person. The question that they will ask, where is your church? And you know, because my English is quite French, they will ask you which country you are coming from. But it's always opportunity to preach that gospel. I remember a while ago, this is a testimony. I met this lady. Often I used to meet her. She used to have a bandage on her left ankle. And that day, she was leaping. I said, can I pray for you? Okay, you're looking at this lady. She might be 40 to 50 years old. She's looking at this black guy. She doesn't know who he is. And she just say, no, I'm in a hurry. I say, okay, I understand that you're in a hurry. Let me tell you something. Today when you get home, just say, my God, I'm talking to you about your God. I'm not talking to you about my God. Say, my God, I met this crazy man on my way. And he told me to lay my hand on my feet, on my foot, and I'll be healed. And I let the lady go. A few weeks after that, I could see this lady no more with bandage on her ankle. And that day, she ran to me. And she said, thank you for what you did. I went and I prayed. I can walk.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That's beautiful.
Steve just asked me to share. So a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Cape Town. Amy had a hockey tournament, and my sister lives down there. Now, family is something else with the gospel when they don't know God. My sister was backslidden, and then she trained to be a Sangoma. And they are strong into the new age, so the farm's called Horizon with a Zen. And they go on pilgrimages and all sorts of things. But you love your family, and I love my brother-in-law. He is the top landscaper in Cape Town. Now, if anyone knows Cape Town, there's a drought on. And as the top landscaper, his business has been wiped out. Retrenched about 200 people. He's sitting with debt coming out of his ears, and he's trying to survive. And as a Christian, what do you do? And I'm always reminded of that song, silver and gold have I none. For what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up, rise up, walk, you know? I don't know where that thing comes from in the Bible. I think it might be Philip doing it, but that verse stuck with me. And before I went down to Cape Town, I made up in my mind that I will not leave. I will not leave until I have imparted something to my sister and my brother-in-law. So on the plane down to Cape Town, and we stayed a night. That night, I got the worst food. Something happened, and I was sick. I spent the whole night in freezing cold in front of the toilet, you know, just grabbing the thing. And that was my evening. And in the morning, I was a little bit rattled. And I think, I don't know what happened. But anyway, regardless, we hopped in the car, and I so I'm still not going to leave until I have imparted something. And everyone's sitting in the car, and I said, no, I need to be bold now. So I said to my sister, and I said, guys, I need to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And like, you know, then they all look at each other. Okay, well, no, it's one big, everyone's equal and multi-religion thing, and that started. I said, no, come. You need power. We need to have, my God will supply your needs. And even though you're not Christian, I believe that he will bless you, because God healed people whether they believed in him or not. Jesus did that. So I'm trusting that God will bring you financial stability and pull you out of this, because he controls the weather and he controls the debtors. And all those things are in his hands. And we prayed together. And I left her, she was busy crying at that stage. I don't know if she's just happy to see me go, but beside the point, I left having done what I set out to do. And that hearing thing is important. You know, there was an opportunity, and I had to, the hardest thing often is just having the courage to just say, guys, stop the bus. Now, this is where I stand. There's a mark in the sand. I'm going to declare who I am and what I believe in. And it's hard with family. It is hard with family. Do it. Put that line in the sand. Stake your claim. You can pray. I can't give them 20 million bucks, but God can. He can sort out their situation. I don't know. But what I can give, I gave. So that's a testimony. It's there. And when God delivers them, they will remember that it's God who gave, not me. And my prayer is that they will turn to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pascal. Thanks, Richard. Aren't these testimonies encouraging? The opportunities that God gives us. I believe he's going to do the same for you. We'd love to hear your testimony. Come and speak to me. You heard they package it nicely and succinctly. I think testimony is a great way to encourage our faith in something. You can get all the teaching in the world on the topic of evangelism. Enough to put on the Titanic and sink the Titanic. But if we don't hear it being fleshed out, amen? How shall they hear unless someone goes? There's a hearing for you. I want to say a few things about the G in hearing. Never got to the G last week at the end of hearing. And it's, what is the G stand for? But to give them the best news that they're ever going to hear. And I went away and thought about that topic. What is this good news? What is this best news? And lo and behold, another acronym dropped into my mind. And I thought this might be helpful for you, as it's been interesting for me to capture something of what this good news is. And it's the word gospel. It's the word that Paul uses. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. The other verses are going to come up in a moment, but I'd like you to see this one in your own Bibles. And anyway, it's a good thing once a week to open your Bible. If the pages are stuck together, don't feel embarrassed. If your hands get dirty wiping away the dust, it's okay, it happens to all of us. But it's good for you to just see it written in the pages of your Bible or on the text of your digital Bible or however you read the Bible. But right in the beginning of this letter to Romans, in chapter 1, verse 1, it's Paul, a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for what? The gospel. Said that was his calling, that was he was set apart for. And then in that same chapter, but later down in verse 16, he says, chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. Amen? This is the good news. It's the gospel. And if you like, the G in gospel is that God reveals himself to all who seek him. The G for gospel. God reveals himself to all who seek him. And in chapter 1, verse 19, it says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The fingerprints of God are everywhere. The Bible says it's the fool who said in his heart, there is no God. God is wanting to reveal himself. And he's left his fingerprints in creation. And he wants to show that he's good. And he wants to show that he's kind. He wants to show that he's love. God wants to reveal himself to those who seek him. The O in gospel. It's our sin that has separated us from him. And Romans 1 verse 21 says, for though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. And who's Paul speaking about here? Well, in the next chapter, he says, you therefore have no excuse because you pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same thing. So no one is beyond the reach of this passage. Lest we judge someone else, it comes straight back at us. And it's that sin that's marred our personalities. It's that sin that has wrecked relationships. It's that sin that's left people destitute and families broken and a community divided. Sin is at the core and root of selfishness, which is the most destructive agent on earth. What's the S in gospel? Sacrifice has been made by God's Son. Carries on in Romans chapter 3 and says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, tall and small, old and young, black and white, rich and poor, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. A sacrifice has been made. When God spoke to Abraham and said, offer up your son. And then it goes on in the story, when Abraham raised his knife up, that the test had been passed, an angel appeared and said, God will provide a lamb. And you know what, my friend? It wasn't just the lamb to spare Isaac. It was the lamb that was coming on Golgotha, the cross of Jesus Christ, where he'd shed his blood, and sacrifice would be made for the sins of the earth. The P in gospel is to put your confidence in what Jesus achieved. And it goes on in Romans 5 and says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus didn't just come to be a good example to be imitated. He came so we could put our faith in him, that his life would be credited to us as the only perfect life that was ever lived on earth. Do you get that? Do you get that Jesus didn't just come to be a good man so you could wear a what would Jesus do bangle around your hand and try and imitate him? Let me tell you, you're going to fail and fail and fail if that's where the hope of salvation is. But when your hope is in what Jesus achieved on the cross, and you know that that's where you put your confidence because you put your faith, you put your hope in what he achieved, my friend, that is where the gospel is powerful. The E, well, it carries on. There's some more wonderful put your peace for put your trust. You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is what we put our trust in. This is the P of gospel. Put your trust in what Jesus did for you. The E of gospel is eternal life. Say eternal life. Man, that should ring a chord of hope in you right there. Eternal life. But it's not only beyond the grave, although that would be good in of itself, to know that when we die, we have eternal life. Come on. No other religion or philosophy gives that hope. Only Jesus said, let your hearts not be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. Only the scripture of the gospel says that He's coming and returning, that we may be resurrected and live eternally with Him, creative in destiny forever and ever. Eternal life is the hope, the anchor of the soul. And I know some years back, all the emphasis was on where you go when you die, where you go when you die, where you go when you die. And some Bible teachers came across passages that apply to the current life as well. And I'm glad there's a balance there. But let's not forget that we live beyond the grave. But that eternal life begins right now. Romans 5 verse 17 says, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man. That life there is Zoe. It's the abundant life. It's the life that Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and rob and destroy, but I have come to give you Zoe life. Abundant, rich life, starting in the present. And what's the L for gospel? Living without guilt. Living without shame. Living without a sense of condemnation. Look at this in chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now, say now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is the gospel, my friends, is that we walk in a relationship with God that's not based on did we fail or succeed yesterday. We walk in a relationship with Him that's based on Jesus' perfection. And when we mess up and do stupid things that can be destructive to ourselves and others, we go before the Father and we say, God, Daddy, that was really dumb. Don't you want to just help me get over that and get through that? Thank you that I've been forgiven for all sin, but that means sin shall not be dominion over me and I can walk victoriously over that thing in my life. Thank you, Father. But I don't walk in condemnation. I don't walk in guilt. I don't walk fearful that God has abandoned me and left me and moved away. Condemnation is the biggest lie from the pit of hell that's caused a whole generation to say, I can't be good enough. When all the time, that's what religion demanded. And the gospel never demanded your goodness for you to be living in a life of good relationship with God. Come on, my friends. Can you see why the gospel is the only message on earth worth sharing for eternity? Can you see why in the gospel there is hope? In gospel there is change. In the gospel there is transformation. I hope that helps you this morning to take those statements around gospel. Go meditate on those scriptures. Get this message burning in your heart, because I promise you when you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. Can we stand up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning for your beautiful presence. Thank you for the signs, wonders, miracles, healings that you're doing right now in our midst. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And I thank you that some people standing here this morning are in desperate need, saying, God, show me your salvation. Please, guys, although the teaching side is over, if we don't have to leave right now, let's just allow the anointing of God upon His word. This is just as important as the preaching or the singing or the communion and the coffee. Right now, just allow the anointing of God's Spirit just to soak upon the gospel that you've just heard. oh Lord, my God. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Won't you say that? Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Oh, I could never have found you. You had to show me yourself. You're loving. You're gracious. You're kind. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're majestic. Oh God, thank you for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. That there was a cost. There was a price. The gospel's free, but it's not cheap. Father, thank you for the washing and the cleansing and the purification that came to my life based on the blood of Jesus. I've put my confidence, I've put my hope alone in what Jesus did for me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fall upon us afresh. Cause this beautiful message to soak, to soak, to soak in us. Thank you for giving me the hope of eternal life. I do not fear death because I do not fear separation ever again. Whether I'm back here next Sunday or not, my eternal life has already begun. I want to pray specifically for people still feeling a sense of distance. The reality that Jesus could never be close to you or God could never be more pleased with you is still struggling to sink in. Somehow you think there's just one more thing you've got to do right to get right. And this morning, we sang about the chains being broken off. That's a chain right now that we break off you. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have called on Him and put your faith in Him, you never need to walk feeling shame, guilt, and condemnation ever again. And that's not an arrogant statement. That's one of the most humble things you can ever, ever, ever conclude. Because it's not based on anything you've done or haven't done. Just look to Jesus. Even right now, we say, Jesus, thank you for the washing. Thank you for the cleansing. Thank you for the eternal hope. Thank you for the confidence to come. Even when we mess up and say, Lord, I don't want to keep messing up. This is not what you created me for. But Lord, I can still come in the same righteousness as I was the day you made me righteous. If you've never been born again, you know it because you're standing there going, I went to a church and I heard some stories. But this stuff you're talking about today, I don't know if it's real in my life. This Jesus you're talking about being so intimate and close to, if there's one person here this morning that doesn't know they're born again, don't you want to pray after me right now? Just one sentence at a time, in your own heart, as if you were standing at the throne of God. Pray this prayer. Jesus, it was your perfect life alone that could please the courts of justice in the universe. Your blood was shed. And I put my faith in your death, your burial, your resurrection. And I ask for the gift of righteousness by grace. That's right. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive it. This is where you're standing right now. If you ask for that, then receive it. Receive it. Just receive it by faith. Right now. Put your trust in what you've just declared. You've just prayed the gospel over your life. Receive. Receive it. And if that's you, please don't run away this morning to get distracted and drink coffee. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to be hanging around a little bit afterwards with one or two guys to help me, gals. And we'd love to pray for you personally, individually. That's very important, I believe. But what you've done now is the most important thing. And we want to encourage you in it. And if there's anyone else here this morning who's just feeling like, relate to what I relate to the feeling of just being empty. And I'm glad you came to church this morning because this was a great time to be filled up. But if you feel empty, you don't feel like you've got anything to give away. You get it? Janet, this morning in that prophetic word, shared about an emptiness that's been planted, surpassed, has been superseded with something that wants to gush out. That's an anointing of the Spirit of God. If you really are too timid to open your mouth and share, if the thought of even asking questions to a stranger or someone you know along the lines of what they've been speaking about, and you can't take that kind of risk, it's like just too much. And even this message of the good news is you're scared how it's going to come out. And right now, be honest with God. You're His child. And in your heart, pray after me. Father, anoint me afresh with the Holy Spirit and power. Lord, anoint me afresh with the Holy Spirit and boldness. Lord, anoint me afresh with the Holy Spirit and courage. Thank you for your peace right now that reigns in my life. You're not asking me to give away, but you're not doing on the inside of me already. So peace. No guilt, no condemnation. In Jesus' name. Well, my friends, thanks for coming and joining us this morning. It's good when the church gets together. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you, and give you peace this week. Amen.